Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
A very, very good morning, Rowan. If I'm having a difficult week, I can only imagine yours.
Yes, Howard. Actually, I'm actually the national chairman. But yes, it's been a very, very tough period. We have really come under a lot of pain as the South African Jewish community, a lot of stress. And, you know, as our community, we stand with Israel. We support Israel. We'll do everything we can to share the truth and advocate for Israel in this difficult period.
Rowan, did the amount of hatred and animosity take you by surprise? It took me by surprise. I didn't realize the level of vitriol that was existing just a little bit beneath the surface on South African social media and in some South African circles.
So Howard, it doesn't really surprise me, and that might sound surprising to you, but we have seen this before in the 2014 conflict. You know, always whenever there is an escalation, we see an increase in anti-Semitism in the South African space. We've seen absolutely horrendous things on social media and things that have been said on radio. It's unfortunately proves the point that, you know, the veil of anti-Zionism just masks the vicious hatred of anti-Semitism behind that. And, you know, it makes us Jews feel, you know, even more connected, I feel, to Israel, in the sense that we have this incredible solidarity, and, you know, the Jewish people around the world feel the pain when it's felt in Israel and vice versa.
And what about all of these protests? I know that this is now springing up. I personally think that South Africans in the general population care a lot less than we sometimes think they do. But you are better positioned to comment on that.
Yes, I mean, we follow these protests. You know, maybe in the past we would have taken them, you know, more seriously, and we do take them seriously, but they happen regardless. I think that they are, you know, everyone has a right in this country to protest and to stand up. But the thing I take issue with is this spreading of hatred and vitriol and false information. I don't think that is constructive. I don't think that is in the interests of nation building in South Africa. And I think, you know, it's we as South Africans also need to try and have some kind of way that we engage with each other. I don't think this just hate and this lies and the spreading is incitement is not constructive.
But how do we get there? Because I know that, for example, there was a person on Twitter yesterday who has an enormous following, more than 100,000 people. She's an ANC, a past ANC activist. She's very well respected in her circles and beyond. And she wrote something about Israel being a genocidal country and committing genocide, all sorts of things. And I responded, Hamas has launched 1,500 missiles at civilian targets in the last 2 days. Their charter openly calls for the death of all Jews and refuses to recognize Israel's right to exist. You unfortunately have it backwards. If Netanyahu is genocidal, he's clearly terrible at it. And her response, instead of arguing, was very simply to block me. And that's what I'm starting to see more and more. In other words, people are locking down their echo chambers and not allowing any form of disagreement. And that wasn't disrespectful. I didn't disrespect her in any way. It was a argument. She put something forward on Twitter. If you put something to your 100,000 followers, you expect dialogue. And she blocked me because she didn't like my view. How do we counter that? Because I feel that everybody is going, and I think to some extent we do the same, by the way. We all create our own echo chambers. How do we get our truth to people who don't want to, who deliberately are not willing to hear it?
It's very tricky, and you're right that everyone has echo chambers and everyone has, you know, their own narratives, but I do believe that there is objective truth, and I do believe that one needs to look at the facts on the ground. I think that the sort of inflammatory language, and, you know, we've seen this kind of terminology all over the place, people saying genocide, people saying ethnic cleansing. It's extremely false and incredibly misleading. And I think when people use this terminology, they cross the border into any kind of rational debate, into hate speech. And it does become very difficult to engage with people. People do not want to engage. They do not want to debate. Or if it is debate, as you said, someone just does not want to listen to your side and they just block you. And that's also, I think, become heightened by social media. People can hide behind a social media profile. They can spew hate. And then when they don't like what's coming back to them, they can literally block. I mean, we've seen on the Zionist Federation's social media pages, terrible, terrible things, terrible anti-Semitism, and, it's just unacceptable. It's not constructive. It's very difficult. And I imagine even in families where people have different agreements or different sides of the political spectrum, it can get very heated. And the thing is that after this conflict ends, we still have to live with each other. We still have to be in a position to engage with each other. And we have to have some kind of way of moving forward. I mean, we can have disagreements, but to take it to the level of inflammatory language and vitriol and hate, I think is very problematic. We need to be in a position where we can debate, we can have a rational discussion about the issue, we can objectively look at the facts on the ground, and we can make our own determinations. Some people will be willing to, listen, and some people won't, and we, unfortunately, that is just the way it is.
Yeah, it's very, very problematic, indeed. The South African government, I wrote an article for the Jewish Report this week saying that, well, I'm in a privileged position. I don't need to care what the South African government has to say because, in my mind, they've made themselves irrelevant. Of course, I want them to hold themselves to a higher standard, not embrace Cuba, not let the Zimbabweans down and the Uyghur Muslims down, and then be balanced towards Israel. But that's just not the case. So my standing, my current view is that given the low standing of the South African government on the international stage, it hardly matters what they say about Israel. But as the national chairman of the South African Zionist Fed, you don't have the luxury of adopting that kind of an attitude. What is your approach to that?
Yes, I mean, our attitude is that we do need to speak and speak out. And, we as the Zionist Fed and also the Jewish Board of Deputies wrote a very strong statement against what the South African government had put out. And the cabinet yesterday has actually put something else out even stronger. We've seen across the political spectrum in South Africa, different parties having different positions, from support to equivocation to just outright absurdity and ridiculous language. And as the Zionist Federation, it's really incumbent upon us to speak the truth, to explain what's going on, to offer people to go actually to visit Israel and see for themselves, and to actually understand the situation. We have to advocate. We have to have public diplomacy. We have to speak to as many people as we can. We have to come on the radio like this. We have to do everything we possibly can to actually show that there are two sides to this. I'm not a big fan of this both sides is a nonsense, but there is another side. Israel has a side, and Israel actually is in the right, and we need to show that, and we need to speak to people, share the facts. We've been doing an exceptionally good job of sharing the facts every single day so people can actually get a sense of what is happening on the ground. And then, we need to see how that develops. But these parties, and we see how people play to their constituencies. A lot of it is when we see Israel in the South African spectrum, we see it less about the conflict in the Middle East and more about a political party's own issues that they're trying to deal with through the way they, in their messaging and the way they deal with this issue. And that, we see that all over the place. And
we've certainly seen that even with the DA this week was quite disappointing in some of their statements.
It was pretty disappointing. We saw this again, there was both sidesism and equivocation and no mention of rocket attacks.
Nothing at all. It's as though they do, as though like they that. Weren't happening.
It's very problematic statement that we saw from them. We need to call these parties out when they say these things. We need to work with them, engage with them. But, again, playing to audiences, pandering to different, elements of the party, I think it's problematic.
It is indeed. Has the South African Zionist Fed engaged with government? Does government engage with you on these types of issues?
We try to.
Or are they dealing with their own stuff at the moment as well, I would imagine?
I think they've got a lot of their own issues, but they do manage to find time to deflect from those issues.
That is true. Absolutely right.
And condemn Israel. I think it's actually quite convenient for them to do that at times.
100%.
But we will try and engage where we can. There's a ruling party has an ideology that goes back, many, many decades. And that is the sort of narrative that they put out. But there's the even, you know, even within the ANC, there is it's not a unified monolith. There's different pockets. There's rationality. There's definitely people that you can speak with, and that's just how it is. We have to do as best as we can and try and get our messages across and try and call for rationality in the situation.
Absolutely, absolutely right. That's unfortunately where we do need to leave it.